In this next segment, we're going to be talking with Mariel Nanasi and Rocky Bacus. Mariel is from the group New Energy Economy and is joining us on the phone. Mariel, why don't I start by just letting you tell people a little bit about New Energy Economy and what it is you do and where they could maybe learn a little bit more about you guys.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. We are a nonprofit that is located in Santa Fe, but is concerned about all statewide issues regarding the expansion of fossil fuels. We believe that the time has come to become a 100% renewable energy state. We could even be a renewable energy exporter because the climate crisis is here now. We're facing unprecedented drought that we're all experiencing at this point. And so now we need serious answers to the climate crisis. So we focus mostly on giving some complications to the corporations that want to continue the fossil fuel era, especially when we think that renewables could be an economic boon to our state and also to the people, to our people.
Okay. When we asked you to come on originally, we wanted to talk about the proposed PNM sale to Blackstone and the El Paso Electric rate hike. But before we get into that, I'd kind of like to get both of your responses to this new information about Project Jupiter, where they have switched their proposed power plant and it from.
Well, first I'd like to jump in and have Rocky introduce himself.
Oh, thank you, Nancy.
Hi, I'm Rocky Bacus. I'm third generation from New Mexico, and I've been involved in rate cases across the Southwest, mainly California, and then for the last couple decades in New Mexico. And I was involved with the last two rate cases, 215 and 2020. In 2020, we went from a $5.5 million increase to a $3.5 million decrease. And so there's a lot that jumps out at this new rate case, which really started from when they were acquired and became private equity. So 73% increase is pretty incredible, but it's not near as incredible as the next 5 years where they're looking to add another 230% increase in assets in five more years without the growth to justify it.
Yep. Okay. Now back to your question. Okay. Sorry about that.
No, that's I should have brought Rocky in here.
You're just so excited. Right? This is such a big topic.
Well, Mariel, let me ask you, what was your reaction when you heard the news? Am I right? I have nowhere near as much understanding of this as you do, but it seems to me like a good change.
Around the Project Jupiter you're talking about?
Yeah. Going from the
it shows that we're having an impact.
Oh, I think that's true. Yeah.
I don't know if it's a good enough change. It really shows the power of the people when people want to act and stand up and express their opposition to something. The last proposed two different, allegedly two different microgrid applications to the air quality control commission under NMED was patently illegal and would have had so many emissions and would have been a disaster for the whole Santa Teresa area. This is better, but it's not good enough. It's not good enough because it's not the most costly and the most environmental friendly alternative. And we believe that solar and batteries are the answer to this if they're going to apply, because this is still going to have emissions and it's going to be less emissions allegedly, though we haven't seen the application yet. Just the announcement that they're going to have a new application. But So haven't had time to analyze it. But I think it means that we still push on.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of, that was my take as well. I did want to get to, this El Paso Electric rate increase, because obviously for those of us here in Las Cruces, that would mean an additional $40 a month eventually out of our pockets. And it is, all of this is going through the Public Regulation Commission, which I would argue is one of the most powerful and least understood public bodies in New Mexico state government. And that's saying a lot, because there's a lot of opaque boards and commissions. Rocky, let me just ask you, can you kind of explain how the process works, El Paso Electric? What are they basing this request on, and where does the process go from here?
Could I first make a brief comment about the Jupiter project?
Of course.
So the gas turbine projects were going to be, I think it was a little over 5,300 megawatts. So that's approximately 150% of all of PNM and El Paso Electric in New Mexico combined.
Hmm.
And since El Paso Electric is approximately 80% non-carbon right now, according to their claims, the gas output, the pollution outputs would be something in the neighborhood of 20 plus times what is currently there. The Bloom Energy usage of going to a process that's a fuel cell, mm-hmm. still uses natural gas to convert to electricity just with the chemical process. And there's apparently part of that agreement is for them to purchase a portion of Bloom and hopefully bring the cost down. But it still appears that based on common prices for Bloom that have been historically done, that going to solar and battery would be significantly lower cost than what they're going to spend. That's roughly triple the cost of the gas plants would have been in round numbers.
Uh-huh.
And there is space to put, you're talking about 20,000 acres of solar to power that project. So it's the land and so forth and the timing and all that, I think, is part of it. So trying to figure ways to make it easier for Project Jupiter to do the right thing, I think, would be good. It probably will cost them less, and they just probably need some help to get that done. So that's my comment about it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And on El Paso Electric, in 2020, they took a big reduction as opposed to an increase. They were also bought by Sun Jupiter, which is not related to Project Jupiter at all. I think I'm not positive. I think it's really indirectly owned by JP Morgan. So they're a private equity company.
Yep.
And they went into an aggressive series of buying things. So over the last 5 years, they've added $408 million of assets. And that's from their own table, which is on PDF pages 227 to 237. So I'm not guessing at that. But a lot of these additions and I've read the whole thing, I think are inappropriate. At the very least, they're not needed right now. And gold plating things is not what's needed for this community. But the bigger issue is the increases that they've laid out, which is going from a rate base of $732 million to $1.6 billion over the next 5 years. That's another 230% increase. So to put it in colloquial terms, someone that's paying $240 a month, because the average is not $50 or $60 a month, $240 a month this summer with a 73% increase would pay a little over $400 a month next summer. And in 5 years, they would be paying $800 a month. So if an effort is not made to have professional experts testify, and El Paso Electric has 18 professional experts, most of which are in-house, a few of which are not, but they're paying huge money to these people to have the resume to be counted as experts.
Uh-huh.
And based on what Commissioner O'Connell said at the Electrify New Mexico conference a few weeks ago, they're going to heavily look just at expert testimony. Public input is not even considered. So when you write letters or all that, by law, and Mariel can confirm this, they're not even allowed to consider all that public input. It has to be expert testimony under oath. And it's, to me, it looks like a lot of greed. And I mean, I don't think there's a reasonable justification. And I've looked at all that, but going through it line by line is going to take, I think they've invested about $5 million, including the $2 million that they're saying they'll use over the next 9 months. But this is on a fast track. The expert testimony in opposition has to be filed by July 24th. That's the schedule right now. So the city and county have got to step up and hire some people. And I know that the city has an attorney. I don't know that the county has an outside attorney, but it's about greed in my view.
Mariel, let you jump in. Any thoughts on the El Paso Electric case?
I haven't read the filing. What I want to say is that the trend of private equity to buy utility infrastructure is seen as captive customers, which of course we are. People in El Paso Electric territory don't have a choice but to sign up with El Paso Electric and the same thing with people in PNM territory. And so they're seeing this, just like what Rocky said, as a fast track towards greed. And unfortunately, we are in this age of, quote, economic development, which has become the most scary words, I think, in the English language. And it's really about mowing over the people of New Mexico for the rights of corporations to accelerate their profit endeavors. And that is in large part driven by, it's not the only thing, but it's in large part driven by the data center boom. And, you know, in the case, and I know that this is impacting El Paso Electric as well, because, you know, the data center there, there's been a couple of major changes. You know, when Facebook first came to New Mexico, there was a rate. I'm not going to get into the weeds about it, but the standard was called no net adverse impact for ratepayers. Well, that's been totally shoved aside. And Senator Padilla, with economic development czar Robert Black under Michelle Lujan Grisham, passed some laws that basically allow the utilities to, and literally this is what PNM said in a filing, we're now allowed to build it and they will come. It used to be that they had to build infrastructure based on need. They would have to show that there was a necessity. Literally, that is the legal standard, that there was a necessity to build something. And if they couldn't show it, then they wouldn't get they wouldn't be paid back for that. But now that's completely turned on its head, thanks to Michelle Lujan Grisham's administration, in the name of economic development. And, you know, that's a real big problem, because what they're doing is they're socializing the cost and internalizing private profit for these different corporations, which may come or they may not come. And in the data, in the situation with data centers, which I'd like to talk about, because I think it's going to be obviously with Project Duper, but not only. The utilities are seeing, you know, they're going gaga with money in their eyes. And the problem is that in the case of Blackstone, I can speak pretty authoritatively. The head, the president of Blackstone, says, look, we're going to invest $85 billion, or we're investing $85 billion in data centers. And what's the bottleneck? Energy. And so guess what? We'll just start owning energy, too, because as people might know, data centers consume enormous amounts of energy, like Rocky said, with the emissions. One Project Jupiter would consume nearly all the energy that is put out, that is currently consumed by Albuquerque and Las Cruces. That's a lot of energy. This is unprecedented, enormous growth in energy need. And basically, that's one of the problems, is that they want consumers to pay and corporations to go scot-free, with the idea that there's going to be a couple of new jobs and that's going to be economic development. But as we've seen in the last, you know, dozen years, there's been a race to the top, and people at the bottom are really, really suffering. There's more people who are suffering, without housing. There's more people who are suffering without adequate food and healthcare. And it's a direct relationship to the income inequality. And that is in part driven by the corporations becoming so ginormous and without any regulation in the name of economic development. But it's not developing society. It is developing the wealth of the few.
Yeah. I think there's some, I guess I have a feel for the need of economic development. I know a lot of people I employed before I got out of doing solar installations directly. I employed 75 people. That was 75 families. And a living wage for most of my people was to try and be at least at 60 grand a year for a man or woman working in the company. And economic development is needed, but there's a right and wrong way to do it. And the wrong way is to have the community support the economic development project that corporations are going to make all the profit on. And yes, there's benefits from having jobs and so forth. But right now, I think there's very clearly enough money. I mean, Project Jupiter is a $165 billion set of bonds. The actual commitment is $50 billion, which is still an enormous amount of money. And for them to build solar and to have the county and or other people say, okay, well, we're going to make the permits happen fast. We're going to get the right-of-way so you can get a transmission line. But for them to be totally separate from El Paso Electric was complaining about it at the Electrify conference. So I think there's a way to make it work, but it can't be with these projects. And so there's two projects that El Paso Electric filed this month. So April 20th and April 13th. April 20th is a pilot project for 250 homes to have solar and battery and load control. That sounds good. But the price is outrageous. Most people would say, well, maybe because it's 20 kW, it should be $60,000 or $70,000. It's not. It's $266,000 per home. $266,000 each, plus the overhead and so forth to manage it. That's, to me, outrageous. Even more outrageous is the one on April 13th that was filed for a CCN. And these are on fast track. They're asking for expedited responses. And you would think this is something that's in the line directly to feed our area. Well, almost half the power comes from Arizona because of the Palo Verde nuclear system. This is for a converter station 10 miles from Artesia. It's the other direction. And it's $289 million. And as you know, you're going to pay many times that when you add the markup and so forth, because the utilities get paid not just for a profit margin, they get paid for profit after income tax and everything else.
Rocky, can I ask you to go back again to the actual cost of the rate increase? Because my understanding is it was going to be $40 a month. And you're saying that over time it's going to be way more than that. Can you kind of explain that a little bit, more?
So the rate case was filed. It's 4,157 pages, and they filed another 1,600 pages because they left stuff out. And It's a 70.1% overall increase of $53,470,000. And so if you look at someone who's paying $40 a month now times 1.7, well, these are pretty low income numbers. I mean, if you look at, but that's not the average by any means. The total increase, well, El Paso Electric's numbers are that 60% of the revenue they're looking for will come from residential. And so when you look at it, it's not just saying $40 for everybody. If you're paying $240 now, this summer, and you add 73%, you're going to go from $240 to about $400-something.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, if you're at the low end of the electric bill scale—
Which very few people are.
That's true. And they made an argument in the last rate case that low income does not mean low bills, because sometimes low income people have houses that are not very efficient.
Mm. Not well insulated.
Yeah, that's true.
All of that. But it's an average of 73%. And they're also saying, well, that's going to be moderated because they're reducing the fuel cost, and they're going to reduce the renewable energy charges. But fuel costs, gas price, natural gas has been at historic lows the last few years. They're probably not going to stay at historic lows. And so if the gas prices go back to a more normal, which we've seen huge increases in paying at the pump, that may also happen to natural gas. So I think you're looking at potentially significantly more than just the 73% if gas also goes back up.
I'd like to jump in here to ask what we ordinary citizens can do. Is there any way to slow this process down? Are there avenues we can? I mean, obviously, the two of you being here with us this morning is very important, because I don't believe most people know this.
Mm. I think that the two main things that can be done, number one is to go to the county commission and the city council meetings and say, we got to do something now. Please allocate the funds. Because in another 2 months, you're over.
It's too late.
And there are experts available, mainly in California, that you probably are going to need to use. But the meetings are going to be done on Zoom. So it doesn't matter that much where they are. It matters that they have the resume credibility for the commissioners to be able to say, yes, this is qualified testimony to say we shouldn't pay all this. Mm-hmm. So that's the number one thing right now. The second thing is that the city and the county could cooperate to create a PACE zone, which is property assessed clean energy, so that large numbers of people could get solar. The largest cost in a solar installation is the interest. And most people don't realize the interest is far more than the panels. And so those are the two big things that could dramatically change, because if you have more homeowners going solar themselves, then the justification for the increases are not there. The increase in the last 5 years was only somewhere around 12 to 15%. And 73% increase for 12 to 15% increase in consumption doesn't make sense.
And Mariel?
I think that there needs to be, I think that those are really good ideas for this case that is happening right now. I mean, there should be a steady budget. I also think that there needs to be ultimately an office of repair advocacy, because clearly the Attorney General has not prioritized this, despite the fact that she's charged by law with having to represent small businesses and residential ratepayers. But there's not, either there has to be a change in the Attorney General's office, and there has to be a robust office there, so that there are, you know, adequate staffing for attorneys, but also a budget for experts. That's one way to do it. Another, which is what happens in most states, is an Office of Ratepayer Advocacy that is also funded, that is adequately funded. Also, I think that we have to make our legislators aware that this is happening. I agree with Rocky that true economic development that benefits community is advantageous. But what it's turned into is its opposite. and it's been used as a cloak for extreme corporate greed. And that's been a problem. And we know that trickle-down economics doesn't work. There's plenty of information about that, and that it's an affront to society, not a benefit. And so we have to take on some of this narrative work. We have to talk to our legislature. We have to talk to the people who are running for governor, too. And we have to shift this whole paradigm. It's got to be about the public interest, and the public interest has to be front and fore and be prioritized, not the interest of corporations. I mean, it takes a lot. There's multiple levels of engagement that needs to be done. And part of that is whoever the next governor is going to be, we need true affordability. I mean, I don't know if some people have seen, but like Michelle Lujan Grisham just announced this quote unquote blue ribbon council on affordability. The problem with it is it's stacked with El Paso Electric CEO and PNM CEO and Avon CEO. And, you know, these are people who are working, first of all, make millions of dollars a year themselves. But then the people should understand something fundamental that I don't know if it's understood. The difference with a utility business is the more they spend, the more they make. That's not how usual businesses work. Usual businesses is the difference between what it costs
right,
to whatever and what they can sell it at.
Right.
If you can make a good hamburger, and people are going to say, okay, well, I'll spend $12 on that.
No, it's crazy. And we have talked about that a lot. Unfortunately, I hate to cut you off. I really do. But we are completely out of time. And we have candidates waiting to talk about their race. And so I want to thank you both so much for joining us. And we will get back to this again.
Such an important topic. We'll return to this.
Thank you very much. Yeah.